Guys, welcome to Better Bachelor. This is Joker with a face for radio and a voice for print. Tonight, we're going to talk about the love loop, the endless loop that women are putting themselves on in the dating market. And it's why long-term relationships pretty much have crashed and burned. And it's why a lot of us guys have gotten out. Here I have a post. It's from Reddit. And it's a woman that asks the question, what's it feel like to be in love in a healthy relationship? And we're going to, let me get recording on this. And I think this is 50% society and 50% not raised well. And so people don't know what it means to actually fall in love. But I have an article I'm going to read to follow up with this. And then I also have a little bit of information from the Greek love, because the Greeks had eight different, some say seven, some say eight. They had eight different words for love, but they have different meanings behind all of them. I think we're in society today, we're stuck in like two of these, and we're not moving past to the long-term endearing love that makes relationships. But let me get reading. It'll all make sense here in just a second. So we have from the girl's survival guide on Reddit. It says, how does it feel to be in love in a healthy relationship? She says, hi, lovely ladies. I'd love to hear about your views on love. More specifically, how does it feel to be in love in a healthy relationship? I've been seeing this guy for a few months now, and I'm so lost. He's kind, caring, smart. We share similar values. I honestly can't think of anything bad about him. I enjoy talking and spending time with him. I'm also attracted to him, even if he may not be conventionally good-looking. In other words, he's good-looking, but he's just not the best of the best, probably. I have affection for him, but I don't know if I'm in love. All I have to compare my feelings is to my one relationship that barely lasted a year. It was very passionate, and I was completely obsessed with him. It was the whole roller coaster thing, and it definitely wasn't the healthiest. Healthy roller coaster, but she was obsessed with him. Why? Because he didn't give her the time of day, because he stayed a challenge to her, and he didn't do it on purpose. He probably just really didn't care about her, and so she felt like he was the, you know, he's the guy to catch. She continues on. This time, it's the complete opposite. I feel very calm with him. He treats me so well. However, I'm missing the excitement. I don't get the butterflies in my stomach, and I'm not constantly thinking about him. Shocking. The tingles, the butterflies, that's all it is now, is a chase for that. And then when it goes away, they chase it again and again and again and again, forever. That does not last in a long-term relationship, period. End of sentence, the end. That's it. It is a brief, physical, strong attraction between two people. It goes through the desire phase and the intimacy phase and the attraction phase, and then it settles into love. See, the thing is, what she talked about before wasn't love. It's not love. That's infatuation, that's excitement, that's hormonal, that's desire, but that's not what real love is. And until this changes, until people understand that everything they're chasing is the lead up to love, until they realize that they've never really been in love yet, that they're not gonna get it. They're not gonna, and this is what scares guys out. This is what's scaring guys out, because women can very easily get attention from another guy. It's harder for men. Unless, again, they're top 10, 20%ers. I'll read through and then I'll do a summary on this. She says, I'm confused because I keep hearing that successful relationships are the ones that are quiet and trusting. But surely there has to be like a little more, no? I don't want to lead him on because he seems to genuinely care about me. But I also don't want to let go of something great just because I'm too immature to realize what a realistic relationship feels like. And I'll give her credit, because at least she's saying, hey, something's not right here. I don't understand what's going on. Is it something, you know, up with me? The answer to that would be yes, of course. She says, I'm not looking for advice about my specific situation. I know that's not what this sub is for. I'd like to hear your experiences related to similar situations. Please share your wisdom. I'm going crazy overthinking this. And she actually got a gold and a silver award, which on Reddit means at least a couple of people really agreed with it. So here's where I think everything's boiling down to. And I've said this a couple times, but it's when you look at your dating market value, for men, it's, you know, it may be height, might be part of it. Could be just, and the only reason I always toss in height is because women seem to put 6 foot on all their dating apps all the time. And of course, tall, dark, and handsome has been a thing for since forever. But if he's tall, if he's attractive, if he's athletic, if he's got good finances, and he's got a fun personality, he's kind of a score. He's kind of the apex predator, as it were. And women want to be with this. And so they date up, and that guy will date down for easy fun in the bedroom. And what happens is this may last for a week, a month, a couple of months, and then he ghosts or he finds someone else to, because it, deep down in men's souls, in their DNA, you know, it's kind of programmed in to be attracted to just women in general. Now, this can be overridden, I think, pretty easily in men, but it takes some effort. They have to really want to, and oftentimes they don't. So I think what happens next is, you know, he decides to go for another gal. She searches around, she hooks up higher up again, but it's always the excitement of maybe this is the one, he's attractive, he's hot, he's this, he's that. And then it peters out, and then they say, well, I just want a nice guy. So they finally find themselves a nice guy like she did, and then they get bored because they are not understanding what real love is. And then what do? They break up with a good guy to go chase the bad boys again, and they end up in the same loop again, where lots of bad boys, they give up, they date a nice guy, he's boring. And I say nice guy, but I mean a normal, like mentally healthy, well-adjusted man. And it's too simple, it's too boring. There's no roller coaster, there's no danger, there's no adventure. It's just kind of 9 to 5. But that's the moment where you get to become, where you learn deeply about the person that you're with. And that's where you not only do you have the passion, but you also have friendship and closeness and understanding. Let me read a couple of words on the ancient, because the ancient, this is not a new like idea. The Greeks have known about this for a millennia. And the first one is Eros, and it's erotic love for desire. And it says the first love is Eros, which is named after the Greek god of fertility. And it's a passion and desire. And this is the physical, hey, let's get to it. Well, there's no problem with this in today's society. We're nailing that one. And then there's, I think it's pronounced phile, or affectionate love. And this is a portion of where you start having affection. And then you move down to ludus, or playful love, which is flirting. And that's kind of the end of it. They never move, or in this lady's case, a mania or obsessive love. But they never move to 6, pragma, or enduring love. And that's a love that has aged, it's matured, it's developed over time, it's beyond the physical, it has transcended the casual, and it is a unique harmony that is formed over time. This is what you think of, I think many people, and this they even go on to say it's like married couples, or couples that have been together for a long time. You can have this, and you can have the other steps, but this becomes the main focus in a long-term relationship. Because eventually you're going to, I mean, there's a reason why India has a book, I think it's from India, the Kama Sutra. They have 100 positions. It's like how to spice up the love life, because that's going to fade once you know the other person. But it's not just about the butterflies and the passion and the heat and the hotness and the flirting. That's designed to get you to the long-term love. You can still have these other things, but they become much smaller. And the pragma, or the enduring love, is what becomes important. And here's an article that I wanted to read, and I'll wrap it up with this. Why women can't find a good man. Why are women frustrated with dating? And I think Jeremy, the author of this, he writes it very well. He says, dating and relationships have always been hard in this day and age. In this day and age, however, they can be sometimes seem impossible. Particularly women I speak to say they can't find a good man. They lament over the guys they say are stuck in childhood, not taking responsibility for their lives. They complain about men they call the nice guy pushover types, who don't stir passionate feelings. They also have difficulty with men they label as, or label attractive jerks, who disrespect them, ignore their needs, and break their hearts. One is exciting but bad. The other is healthy but boring. It's like eating, I don't know, cheeseburgers all day long versus eating vegetables. We all want the cheeseburgers. That will kill us and end us a lot faster than eating the healthy vegetables. So he says, what's going on here? Have all of the good men blown away? Well, we haven't blown away, but we are hiding in this our corner of the internet here. Personally, I would like to offer an alternative hypothesis, one where women have been put in a very unfulfilling double blind. I would like to posit the cultural and biological factors have been pitted against each other, leaving women in a no-win situation. More than one kind of love. So they say, of course, there's lust, which is the physical desire. There's attraction, which is appeal, allure, and motivation to pursue and chase a partner. And then there's attachment, feelings of bonding around sharing a home, parental duties, mutual defense, safety, and security. And I'm gonna give my quick summary here because I don't want to read all the. I'm gonna leave all these articles down below as always. But basically, what's happened is the first one, the desire is there. They latch on. The attraction's there. The flirting, the motivation, the excitement of choosing a new partner, that's there. But when it comes to attachment, that's not being shared anymore because it's not exciting. It's settling into a normal, into a routine, learning about the person that you're with deeper and getting a more meaningful relationship. And that really is love. The rest of it is just hookup and desire and flirting and excitement. That's designed to get you to the attachment phase. But you see, attachment's not a benefit anymore. Women don't need men for protection. They have police. Women don't need men for income. They have their own income. Women don't need men for child rearing. They have nannies and babysitters. And sometimes at work, they have people that can look at them or look after them. And they don't really need a partner anymore. No one needs a partner anymore. You know, men used to have the woman for kids. And while she would raise the kids, he would bring in the bread and you had a household. He would take care of all the manly things, mutual defense, safety, security, income. And she would raise the kids, raise the family. You don't need each other anymore. Defense and money and all these things, everybody can have them. We're in a society where it's no longer you need to pair up for that. So we never get to the attachment phase because everybody's worried about losing out on the opportunity for new desire, on the opportunity for new allure and attraction and the excitement. And so we never get to the attachment phase. But then what happens? Let me read what he says here. He says, the modern dilemma. Here I posit that at least some of women's frustration in modern dating can be explained through the double blind. Particularly, this double blind occurs when the type of men that women find attractive from a biological or evolutionary origin, wide shoulders, six-pack, muscular, strong, powerful, leader amongst men type characteristics, they find those attractive, and then the type they choose to attach to from social instruction. In other words, those would be the guys that are willing to stay with her, first of all. Number two, sire a child with her willingly. And number three, provide. Well, those two categories of men are different men now 99% of the time. And women keep chasing their biological evolutionary stuff of, ooh, he's so hot. And they only settle when they need to settle until they get an opportunity to chase after again. And this is where the divorces by women are between 60 and actually now up to 85% in certain countries. Women are filing for that divorce. Why? Because now they can have the money, have the security because of society, and still go get the new fresh tingles and excitement. They don't need the guy anymore. But given these social instructions, women are motivated to choose men for how well they mesh with their life plans, goals, and ideas, which is long-term love. Essentially, then, some women to choose to attach to men who are cooperative, agreeable, supportive, and often take the lead in areas the woman finds important. From a cultural standpoint, men who are categorized as disagreeable or opinionated or who expect women to acquiesce may be considered unappealing as attachment partners. But those are also the guys. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me just read what he says. Unfortunately, however, many of those culturally undesirable male traits are similar and overlapping with the traits that are biologically attractive. Although not often always true, often the man who is intelligent, high status, ambitious will be unlikely to take a back seat, follow, and submit in romantic relationships. Generally speaking, men who have leadership characteristics may want to lead in many situations. Right. So Alpha Dude, right? He's going to be leading the way. He's living his own life. If you want to come along for the ride, you're welcome to it, but I'm doing my thing. He's a leader. He's characteristic, but he's not good for bonding to, because he won't bond back, you see. So it becomes her wanting him, but him not wanting her, because he's leading his own life. He's taking charge. He's doing whatever he wants. It's very selfish. But to a lot of women, this is also very attractive because of their alpha characteristics. Then you've got Mr. Nice Guy, who will do anything for her and will protect her and provide for her and do all these things for her. But that's a submissive role. And so women then say, well, this is what I'm going to end up with. And he's safe and he'll protect me and he'll take care of us. But he doesn't stir the juice. He doesn't get things all exciting. And so women are torn between the two. They're unhappy here because they have a guy that's kind of a nice guy. And they have a guy here that was what they really want, but he doesn't want them back in return. And so they end up bouncing between the two, trying to find some place of normalcy, and they can never find it. So what do some women do about it? Learn to love leading. And this is, and I'm going to summarize this. I'll leave it below. Where women have to take, women have to lead, and they have Mr. Beta Provider that stays at home, and he's not exciting, and so she'll have to take the lead on everything. But she's got to be the dominant one in the relationship. I don't think strong men will do this. I don't think leaders and alpha guys will do this. It's going to be a beta guy. Number two, follow wisely. And this is the type of woman that if a red pill guy or a guy in the manosphere decides to date, this is who he's going to have to date to have any chance of it, which is other women will choose to be cautious in love, looking for the right guy to be with and enjoying their attraction to strong male leadership. These women evaluate and test men to find the right guy, a guy who will lead with their hopes, dreams, and goals in mind. They know that if you're not driving, it is wise to pick the driver carefully. Thus they find a man with strong, attractive attributes to swoon over, who will not end up treating them like a jerk, but he will also not give them as much control in the relationship. And this is how older relationships tended to be. The dominant man, head of the household, and the woman would stay attracted to him because he's extremely strong and an alpha male characteristic, but they would have to learn to take the back seat in the relationship. I mean, you know, not my words, but. And then three, they call it mixed mating, which is a woman basically marries the quiet She marries the beta guy. I combined them. Bi guy, the beta guy. She marries him, but then goes out and has relationships with all the attractive guys. And that's a lot of these, you know, women that are wanting two and three boyfriends, husbands, whatever, and they're proud of it. And that's another direction. I'm not okay with that. I'm not going that direction. I mean, I'm okay with it, but that's not for me. And then negotiating and sharing a balance. But that's women that take the lead at work and take the back seat at home. And so then they go over a conclusion. But what I wanted to talk about here really was that women are torn now. They're in this unenviable place, and they're going to have to find a way to make this work in their own head, where they chase the bad boys because he drives the desire and the attraction phase. And then, but they want to settle with a safe partner that will be there to very supportive and make sure their kids are taken care of and is there as a partner for the family and things like that. And usually what it seems to be is they chase the bad boys, then they decided to settle down with Captain Beta over here, have kids, and then now that they have the kids and they have the income that he provides, you know, after a divorce or whatever, then she goes back out chasing these guys, but she's got the kids and she's got her Beta's money. And that's what's happening. That's why the divorce rate is so high. It's why women are filing so often. And until guys understand this, that they need to, if you're going to be you can't be the shy Beta guy anymore. You're just going to get run under the coals after a few years of marriage. So if you're going to be that guy, expect to get run over. That's all there is to it. And if you're going to be a characteristically powerful leader of men, leader of your own fate, leader of your own destiny, that's great, but you may end up doing that alone, or at best having short-term relationships with women that are going to try to get you to settle down and try to be in a long-term relationship with them, and you're going to have to say no and continually move on, which is also why we talk about no cohabitation, no marriage, be careful on the long-term relationships, because she may try to tie you in and then take over and take charge of the relationship, which then forces you into a beta position. And guys do not want to be there. At least alpha guys don't want to be there. And so to avoid all of that, those alpha guys just, they date, they casually have their fun. The woman thinks it's going somewhere and he leaves and her heart chases after him. And in the meantime, she then says, oh, I guess I have to settle for these other men. Where the truth is, these other guys that are going to be supportive and caring and kind and watch out for her, that's where the real love exists. That's where the long-term, like deep, sensitive love exists. But they never find it because they've always got their eyes to the horizon trying to find the next, you know, alpha guy to chase after. And until women can figure out how they're going to manage this, they either need to find a strong man and understand they're not going to be in charge, or understand you can be in charge, but the guy's going to take the back seat and you're not going to find that very attractive. You'll find it safe. You'll find it comfortable, but he's not going to be the attractive guy that you want to be with. Guys, if you'd like to support my work, links are below. As always, if you have, thank you very much. The best way you can support me is like, comment, share, subscribe. Check out my older videos. Join me over on betterbachelor.locals.com. And if you want to follow my travels from around the world over the last couple of years and where my bus updates will be, that'll be on the_unknown_adventure over at Instagram. I'll leave it there. This is Better Bachelor. I'm joking. Remember, you can lead, you can follow, or you can get the heck out of the way.